as we run the Christian life. Now, to keep the sporting analogy going, I presume, I've never experienced this, it still may happen, but I haven't experienced it yet, but I presume that when you're lining up to play at Burwood Park in front of 12 spectators, there's a different feeling than when you run out onto the MCG in front of 100,000. When you see that great cloud, that's something different. That's something that keeps you going. Now, I don't think that it's that the crowd are lined up to watch us. So it's not like that it's Old Testament heroes are there to watch us run the race. It's that we're supposed to see them and be encouraged. We spot them as we're running round the kind of circuit. As we struggle on in the race of life, the Christian race, we see Noah and we remember the ridicule that he received, but that he endured. And then we see Abel, and we remember the family problems that he went on but kept trusting in God. And then we see Abraham and Sarah and remember that they weren't given a baby for a long, long time. They carried on trusting in God. And as we see these Old Testament saints, we're encouraged. They witness to us as people who lived by faith and persevered. And so they act as an encouragement. Do you see that as we run the race? But it's the throwing off that I want to us to particularly focus on. Therefore, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. In most kind of races, the art of streamlining is very important. That's why I don't do very well in races these days. Yet not carrying extra weight or burdens, that's important. You see it at its extreme today with swimmers, don't you, who don't even just, they shave every part of their body. And you know, the attempt to cull anything extraneous which will slow down, or in a longer race, anything that could cause fatigue or failure to finish. We don't want any extra baggage or weight. Friends, it's the same in the Christian race of life. And here we see what we need to throw away. Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Note that's two different things. We throw off things that hinder us and we throw off the sin that so easily entangles. What's the difference between those two things? I take it that what hinders us are neutral things. They may even be good things that are entirely appropriate for some people, but actually cause us to be tempted or stumble. So something that might hinder us may be, it might hinder me, but be entirely appropriate for you. Whereas the sin that so easily entangles is objectively wrong. It doesn't matter who you are, where you are, you know, what kind of time. It's that kind of behaviour that we're to put to death because it's not what God wants for us. But the purpose is to throw both these things off, because both these things make running the Christian life very difficult. Now, when you think about what to throw off, one of the key things we've got to do is know ourselves. Do you know yourself? Are you honest with yourself about the areas in life where you're most likely to stumble, be tempted, or fall into sin? Knowing ourselves like that is so important. So can I ask you this morning, what is it that hinders you? Remember what it is that hinders? These things are not right and wrong in themselves, but for you, it puts you in an environment or a space or a time where you're likely to stumble and fall into sin. Watching the TV or going on the internet late at night when other family members are in bed. There's nothing wrong with watching the TV late at night. Nothing wrong with going on the internet late at night. But for some people, when they do it, when they're alone, they actually end up taking part and watching things which does take them into sin. Is that something that hinders you? Is it a particular place? For some, going into a pub. Nothing wrong with going into a pub. I love going into a pub. But for some people who struggle with excessive drinking, or today, pokies, it puts them in a very precarious position. Do you see, it's a neutral thing. Sometimes it's a good thing, but for some people it hinders. It causes problems. Using our cell phone at night. Absolutely nothing wrong with using your cell phone at night. Please don't hear. But for some people it leads to inappropriate communication and pursual of inappropriate relationships. Some people, it's a particular person. When I'm with that person, I just find myself speaking in unhelpful ways, gossiping and kind of, you know, reading a magazine. I know for some people, absolutely nothing wrong with reading most magazines. But for some people, reading a magazine causes huge discontentment, huge dissatisfaction with life, jealousy and coveting and problems of body image and materialism, those kind of things. See, do you see what I'm talking about? These things will be different for each of us. I'm asking you this morning, what hinders you? Honestly. So often, you know, part of the battle in these things is we're not actually honest with ourselves. It's not really a problem. I couldn't do without a computer. Oh, that was the last time. You know, now it's going to throw off what hinders you. That's what we're told here. If we want to run the race and finish, endure, we want to throw off those things which can bring us down. The second part of that throwing off is much clearer, I think, simpler. It's the sin that so easily entangles. These are the things which are just in and of themselves wrong. I like that phrase. That's the nature of sin, isn't it? It gets its hooks into us, becomes very hard to escape from, so difficult to stop. These are the things which are just wrong, that go against what God wants from us. And each of us will have different areas where we struggle with. It's not like, oh, I'm the only one. No, we all have areas. Again, do we know ourselves well enough to know where it is and what it is? What is it that entangles you easily? Is it pride? You know, an arrogance which makes you look down on others rather than serving them with a good heart? Is it greed? Is it jealousy or coveting what others have? Is it laziness? You know, it's working it out. Where to throw it away. And notice the language of throwing it away. That language itself, I think, is very helpful because it involves us taking an action to rid ourselves from it. I sometimes fear that we as Christians think that the process of stopping sin is kind of automatic. It just happens when you become a Christian. Or it's very easy. And if we think that way, when we still see it in our lives and we haven't been able to stop it in a way that we would want, we can get quite down on ourselves, or we can get angry with God. You know, why can't I stop it? Or why hasn't God taken it away from me? But friends, the whole Bible is testimony to the power and insidiousness of sin. You know, nothing except the death of God the Son could sort out sin. That's how powerful it is. So it shouldn't surprise us when it's actually difficult to get out of our lives. It's similar there. Therefore, because it's hard, it takes self-discipline. It doesn't happen overnight or automatically, normally. It requires effort, and it often involves failure. And we pick ourselves up again and we say, sorry, Lord, thank you for the forgiveness that's mine. Let's go again. But we're to work at it. It requires effort. It's throwing it away. The good news, of course, that the rest of the New Testament reminds us of is that we're not alone as we fight this against sin. God gives us his Spirit to enable us and encourage us and strengthen us. But it's still hard work. But it's what we're to do. It's part of running the Christian race. Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. So that's firstly, throwing off. The second and third are a bit quicker. Secondly, the way to run the race. Just read the whole of verse 1. Therefore, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. The race that you and I run is not a sprint. It's more like a marathon. And one of the keys for us is to simply keep going, to persevere day after day, week after week, month after month. I enjoyed sports when I was young, but one of my most shameful and humiliating moments came in my first 400 metre race. I'd been involved in sprints a little bit, but never run anything over the 200, and I remember lining up in my first 400 metre race, if I'm being honest, feeling quietly confident. As I looked round my small country school, it was my time and I knew it. Anyway, the gun went, I flew off at top speed. And it was not long that my top speed had taken me so far ahead of everyone else that I actually had time to look round and look at these poor people so far behind me. I was miles ahead. And two things I remember came into my head as I was running this race. The first one was, I am even better than I thought. I was not sure of that, but as I looked round, I am even better than I thought. The second thing that came into my mind was, I think I may be looking at a school record. I may be looking for a school record. And I remember these words coming into my head, Jay, it's time to drop the hammer. It's time to etch the Bean name into the record books. If you've ever run the 400 metre race, you'll know what happened next. About 180 metres into it, I could not move. I could not breathe. I'd stitched up and I had pain everywhere. And all the other runners who I had so easily outpaced for less than half of the race just jogged past me. And I couldn't even finish. I could not finish this 400 metre race. Very humbling, because I'd always prided myself, at least I'll finish. Couldn't even finish this race. The Christian life is not a sprint. It's a marathon. It's a whole lifetime. And lifetimes will have wonderful highs and devastating lows. It will turn corners that we don't expect. And so it's no good going full belt and running out of enthusiasm like and energy and stamina like I did. The Christian life is about finishing. It's about keeping going, enduring, persevering. The Christian race is different. I've been saying it's like races that we're used to today. It's different in the sense that it's not about beating other competitors. That's not what the Christian race is about. It's about completing it, pressing on, finishing. And we're to run the race, do you notice the words, marked out for us. In other words, each of our races are different. They all contain different issues. We will all face different joys and despairs. And one of the most damaging things for us as Christians is to look at them and go, well, they're not suffering in that way. Well, why aren't they going through it? Why is God dealing with them differently? Now, God will actually help us persevere the race that's been marked out for us. Will we persevere? Persevering is a terrifically important theme in the Bible. And one of the terrific truths of it is that ultimately it's not up to us. An important doctrine that came out in the Reformation was a Christian truth called the perseverance of the saints, which meant that if you're a saint, i.e. if you trust in the Lord Jesus, because that's all a saint is, God will bring you to him at the end. You will persevere because he will make sure of it. It taught the truth that is contained in the words that if God begins a work in you, he will bring it to completion. And we see that wonderful truth in a few different places in the scriptures. You remember those words, wonderful words at the end of Jude? We sometimes sing it here at St. Stephen's. To him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy to the only God our Saviour. Do you see that? It's God who keeps us from falling and who presents us on the last day without fault and with great joy. The same words are found in John 10 when you remember Jesus talked about his sheep and says that nothing can snatch them out of my hand. He goes further and says nothing can snatch them out of my Father's hand. That's the perseverance of the saints. If we are God's, he will not let us fall. That's the comfort of that wonderful doctrine, because it's a perseverance that comes from him, so it won't fail, rather than from us, where we could muck it up in the end. But alongside that great promise of him keeping us, we are reminded in the Bible over and over again to make sure we do all that we can to finish the race, to endure, to persevere. That they're two sides of the same coin. And every now and then we need to hear one of those sides. You know, sometimes we need to be encouraged. Don't worry, God's holding you. He'll get you to the end. Other times we need to be encouraged. Play your part. Make sure you're doing what you do. Our verses today remind us of what we're to do. Run with perseverance the race marked out for us. We're in it for the long haul. So let's keep going. How do you pace yourself for the long haul? Throw off what you don't need. And the second way you do it is by having your eyes in the right direction. It's our third point and last point this morning. Let's read verses 2 to 3. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. In any sport, it's crucial where your eyes are at. Whether it's cricket and you're batting or cricket and you're fielding. Whether it's golf or netball. Running's no different. In running, it's no good if you spend too much time looking at the ground. It's not too much, not good either if you turn around and look at your fellow runners and think you're ahead by a long way. Or looking at the scenery. You need to look where you're going. And for us as Christians, We're to fix our eyes upon Jesus. That's what we do in the race. I love that phrase, don't you? Fix your eyes upon Jesus. In fact, the word that's used there for fixing your eyes is a word that indicates that we're aware that there are competing attractions around, but we deliberately place them on Jesus. It's Him who is the author and perfecter of our faith, these verses tell us. If the great cloud of witnesses in verse 1 are supposed to encourage us as we look at, oh, there's Noah and there's David and they came through, Jesus is the witness par excellence. He's the one that endured more than anyone else and persevered right to the end. And so when we look at Him, we go, let's keep going. And He's the one that makes our imperfect faith perfect because of His death on the cross for us. He endured through everything. Look at what it says in verse 2. Who for the joy set before Him endured the cross, scorning its shame. And those kind of sentiments continue on in verse 3. Consider Him who endured such opposition from sinful men. Jesus endured. He persevered. And I don't know if you've ever thought, like I remember to my shame thinking, well, suffering was probably a bit more easy for Jesus. I mean, He's God the Son. Probably it wasn't as hard for Him as it is for me and for you and for that. I'm sure that's not right, though. I think it's fair to say, I could be wrong here, and you can talk to me afterwards if you think I am, but I think it's harder for human beings to suffer than animals to suffer. Because, I'm not saying the pain's different or anything like that, I'm saying we understand what's going on more. We have greater perception. We can see where it's heading and if there's, you know, what's going on and awareness and all those sorts of things. Because our knowledge is greater, our knowledge of the suffering actually becomes worse. In the same way, I'm sure Jesus suffered more than we can comprehend. Because He knows more intently and intensely things. Friends, Jesus went through betrayal by close friends. Do you know the pain of that? Jesus does. He faced rejection. He faced people misunderstanding Him and misrepresenting Him. Don't you hate that when that happens to you? He went through that at the highest possible scale. He had people who hated Him and spat at Him and beat Him and tortured Him and put Him to death. More than that, He took on spiritual suffering as Jesus took our sin upon Himself and was forsaken by His Father. But Jesus, for the joy set before Him, that is, for the joy that His suffering would enable for you and I, endured. He kept going. He persevered. And of course, His persevering and enduring means that there will come a time in the future when we won't need to persevere anymore. When the problems of this world which make it necessary to endure will be gone, and that joy spoken of there will be perfectly ours. But that's in the future. And until we get to that point, we keep going. At the end, as the end of verse 3 says, so that we will not grow weary and lose heart. As I finish, I think that often as Christians we look in the wrong places. I find myself doing it, so I may be just talking out of personal experience more than that. But often our eyes are on too much on ourselves, on our situations. And the more we just focus on ourselves, the more we just spiral down and down and down. Why, God? What's going on? What are You doing? And, you know, all these kind of things. Or we put our eyes too much on others. Why aren't they having that? Why is it so easy for them? You know, all this kind of. Or we look at the world and we think, well, what are You doing, God? You know, this world is such a mess. Is it ever going to change? And all those kind of things. If we do that, just like in a race, we're going to be having our focus on the wrong thing. We're to fix our eyes on Jesus. That's what you and I are to do. Remember His words. Remember His actions. That's why communion this morning, we do it once a month, such a great thing to do. We remember what He did for you and I. Thank Him for it. Are you growing weary and losing heart? If you're not, that's good, but you will be at some stage. That's what happens in a marathon when you're in it for the long haul. If you are, throw off the things that weigh you down. The things that hinder you and the sin which easily entangles. Run the race deliberately, pacing yourself, not like being for the first 100 meters and then die. And, you know, but more importantly, most importantly, fix your eyes on your Saviour, the author and perfecter of your faith, the most glorious King. Let's look full in His wonderful face. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for the reminder of the reality of life, that it is a race, a long race. It requires perseverance. And we thank you for the wonderful truth that actually in the end it's you who will bring us home. But I pray that you would help us play our part, that we would do the things that you call us to do, that we would throw off those things that cause us extra weight and make us more tired, that we would fix our eyes in the right direction upon your Son, our wonderful Saviour and Lord. And I pray that you would encourage us and strengthen us so that we may press on, continue, complete, and finish. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.